for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, May the 23rd, 2013. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service teaching on fear.
You know, I want to say something before I teach. I want to teach on fear tonight, some insights that God's given me into fear. But the songs Kyle sang about, you know, love and knowing that God loves you, if you grew up with mothers and fathers that loved you, you don't have any doubt that God loves you. You couldn't doubt it if you wanted to. But most of you did not grow up with moms and dads that loved you and nurtured you, protected you, which is one of the roots of fear, is not growing up being protected, not growing up being nurtured. Some of your mothers and daddies left. And, you know, when they leave, you feel like that you're not a valued person, or they would have thought more of you to stay and be your mother or your daddy. Or if they gave you away in adoption, you see, you feel worthless, like you've been thrown away, and that God feels the same. But God is not like your mother and father. He loves you with a perfect love. To break that, though, you have to forgive your mothers and fathers for the lack of nurture, for not loving you, for leaving, for not being there. And I have people tell me all the time, you know, I forgive my mother and father. Generally, yes, but to get healed, you have to specifically forgive them in specific areas. And however we view our mothers and fathers, unconsciously we're viewing God the same way. You believe that God treats you is like your daddies and mothers. If they were liars, it's hard for you to believe. God will tell you the truth. One thing about my dad, which I thank the Lord for, is that my dad would give you an answer whether you wanted it or not. And so I've never doubted God's going to tell me the problem when I ask him. It may take a while because there may be a million things he's trying to show me. But I thank the Lord that he wants to show you. He loves you. He wants to be your coach. He wants to be your Abba Father. He loves you. The Bible says that he wants to pick you up on his hip and throttle you, lovingly bounce you up and down, this Amplified says, on his maternal knees. There he comes as El Shaddai. One of my favorite pictures that I have of my daddy and me and my mother and my little sister is that they're standing together, but my daddy is holding me on his hip when I'm about 3 years old. I love that picture, and someday I'm going to get an overhead of it, because that's really a picture of what God wants to pick you up and put you on your hip. And so many of you have never had a daddy that puts you on his hip. But God says he wants to pick you up, throttle you, lovingly bounce you up and down on his, God's, maternal knees. That's in the Amplified version. God's not like your mother and father. But to break these issues, you have to, like, if you don't feel like you're loved by God or anybody, then you have to go back and say, I forgive my mother and father for not loving me. Say they rejected you. The lie is God's going to reject me too. The lie is God's going to reject you too, but that's a lie. But you have to forgive your parents for rejecting you, because that the unforgiveness and the judgment puts a block between you and God. So those things have to be cleared out. But I want to share about fear. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear, and that fear has torment. And first of all, what is the perfect love that casts out fear? What is that? In 1 John, I believe it's 1 John 5, I'm not sure, it says, this is the confidence we can have toward him, toward God, If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if He hears us, we already have what we ask for. Is that correct? So do you believe it's God's will that He be glorified? So you know that if you pray, Lord, be glorified, you know He's going to answer that prayer. Is that correct? Because that's the purpose that we're here on this earth, is to glorify God with our lives. And it should be an ongoing thing. Nobody is perfect. You won't be perfect until you enter eternity. We're all a work in progress. And God looks on the heart where man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on your heart. I know that's why probably He hasn't killed me, is that He knows I want to please Him. And that's my greatest desire, is to please the Lord. And so there's a mess that God is straightening out in all of our lives. And it's a process. Sanctification, which, you know, we call it deliverance, but I believe sanctification is just deliverance. And it takes a lifetime. You think that when you get delivered, that I hear people call me and say, well, I already got delivered. You'd think that after 50 years, you'd be getting less deliverance, but it's just the opposite. I've been walking with God for 50 years, and the greatest deliverances in my life have been the last few years. And I'm seeing so much right now that I just need to repent of that I didn't even know I needed to repent of. Monty Mulkey gave me his little series on pride. I guess he thought I needed it. And so when I go to Dallas or when I travel, I listen. And so he'll give a scripture and he'll explain it. And I'll say, oh, God, forgive me for that. And I'll start burping, belching, yawning all the way to the airport, all the way back. And I thought, you know, I need to get this down in my spirit. So I listened to the CD while I sleep, continuous play, all night last night. So I heard Monty talk all night last night. But anyway, I don't want that in my life. But, you know, you have to see you have it, and then you have to want to please God. And the dying to your flesh is an ongoing process. But perfect love that casts out fear, just what is that? I want you to turn to Genesis 22, verse 1, if you will. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Now as Abraham went up the mountain, he said, we're going up to worship and we're going to be back. You see, he had faith that even if God, if he killed Isaac, that God had told him that Isaac, he would be the father of many nations through Isaac. And he believed that promise. And so in verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and then went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and of Abraham, built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. You see, when I offer up a sacrifice to God, I am fearing God more than I'm fearing the sacrifice or losing the sacrifice. And you see, that's where fear comes in. You know that it's idolatry when you fear you won't get it if you don't have it, and if you have it, you fear you'll lose it. You know it's an idol. He said, now I know you fear God. When we fear God, we won't fear anything else. And Abraham stretched out his hand. Let's see, I've lost my place here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife, and the angel of the Lord called unto him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, lay not the hand. He said, now I know you fear God. Verse 12, and he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything to him, for now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And so God said, because you've obeyed me, I'm going to bless you. Sometimes we want to give up things. We think if we lose this thing, we need this thing to survive. We need this thing to function. We need this thing for whatever. And God says, if I give it up, I have a blessing. And so to overcome fear, we have to be willing to lay down our life, lay down our every idol. You know, our big idols are, we might not bow down to Kali or Buddha or Diana or Molech, but our big idols is, I have to succeed, I have to be perfect, I can't fail, I've got to find somebody that'll love me. I've got to be accepted. I've got to be valued. I've got to be noticed. I've got to be. And if I expect these things from other people, I get angry when they don't do it. You know, anger is connected to a hot wire that's connected to an idol. Fear is idolatry. And Abraham was the perfect example of letting go of his life when he took his only son up the mountain and offered him as a sacrifice. He was a perfect example. And that's what God wants us to do with our idolatry, is take it up the mountain. I can tell you that when fear comes to me, I start having a fear. I make an altar to the Lord and I say, Lord, if it would bring you greater glory. Do you hear what the devil's saying? Lord, if it would bring you greater glory and honor for that thing the devil's telling me to happen, then let it happen. I let it go. Right now, I have to let go of my grandson. He'll be a senior at University of Texas this year, and he'll graduate. And he just told us that his plan would be to go into the Marines, into officers training school. And I've had to take him up the mountain and say, God, all I ask is one thing, that whatever you do with him will bring you the greatest glory and honor. Wherever you put him, Lord, all I ask is this one thing, that you'll put him wherever he will love you the most. And I can tell you that the fear leaves when you do that. Because as long as you're holding on to your life, you lose it. You give it up, you find it. I had to do that with Kyle years ago because he moved up north. And my prayer was, he moved from Texas to up in Maine, and I had to pray the same prayer. I don't think I ever told him I prayed this. But I said, Lord, if he goes to Africa, if you move him to Africa and I never see him again, I give him to you, but I ask one thing, that wherever you put him, it'll bring you the greatest glory and honor. And he lives 300 yards behind my house. I mean, I had to give him up because just having one son, your only son, and I can say he's a joy to my life. But you have to give up everything in your life, the good things, the bad things, the fears. God says perfect love casts out fear. Why is it perfect love that casts out fear? Because when I can give up my son, or Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for everybody in the world to reject me, so be it. But devil, you won't do it. Lord, if it glorify you the most for nobody to love me, so be it. But devil, you have nothing to do with it. Lord, if it glorify you the most for me to be a total failure in this world, I ask one thing, Lord, that I please you. Now, that's a prayer God will answer. But devil, you cannot touch me because I'm in the hands of God Almighty. I'm in the hands of the potter. You know, the potter does the work. Sometimes when we're performance-oriented, and I can tell you fear, being a perfectionist or performance-oriented person, it's rooted in fear. And so God has a plan for each of our lives. It says that you're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that He has prepared before the foundation of the world. He had a master plan when He had put, when He allowed you to conceive. God had a master plan for you. But if you if you get on the potter's wheel, He's the potter. You're in His hands. You can't miss Him. You cannot fail when you're in God's hands. And so the enemy wants to torment us, but see, it goes back to pride because I worry about what everybody else thinks. And that's something that I'm dealing with pride. And I can tell you it's in your life too. You may not see it, but I've seen some things I didn't even know was there. And I thank the Lord for that. And I'm going to keep on repenting till all that's gone. And I'm sure when I enter eternity, it'll be gone. Praise the Lord. But there's hope for all of us. But I've received more deliverance, and I've been a Christian 50 years. The last 2 years, I've received more deliverance. You know, why is that? Because you're more able to understand. It's the truth that sets you free. The more you grow in the Lord, the more you understand, and it's the truth that sets you free. And some insights that God has given me into fear is that every fear in our life has to be dealt with if we're to be an overcomer in Christ Jesus. Job said in Job 3:25-26, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I'm afraid of is come unto me. For I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came." So we need to overcome every fear in our life, and also anger. That's not acceptable. God says, if you practice anger, we'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And so fear is faith in what the devil's telling you. Fear is faith trusting in the wrong God. Your idol, or you're going to trust God the Father. Okay, go to Romans. Fear is a bondage. It puts you in prison, and it's a yoke of slavery. If you have on a yoke of slavery, it subjects your life to fear. You can't see a yoke with the human eye. I mean, you can see a wooden physical yoke, but spiritual yokes you can't see with the human eye. You can't see with the naked eye a yoke that's on your neck. Romans 8:13. "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So if you're not letting the Spirit of God lead you, can I tell you, you're not a son of God? Does that mean you're perfect? No, it doesn't. But it means that you hear truth and you turn from it. You know, the Bible says that Job was the most righteous man that lived upon the earth. Why? Because he feared God, because he always turned from evil. He saw evil, he turned from it. He saw evil, he turned from it. And so he's really our example of fearing God, and pride if you read the very end of Job, you see that he went through what he went through because of pride. He said, you know, I perceived you in my mind and now I see you with my eyes or something like that. In Job 42, he said, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. And he repented of pride in Job 42, and I'm not going to read that. And so wherever we have fear, we're in bondage. Fear is the fruit of an imperfect love. Why is fear, why is the perfect love that casts out fear, why is it a perfect love that casts out fear? When I can take everything I have up the mountain, give it to God, and say, God, I trust that you know what I need. You know if my grandson needs to do this, or you know if he needs to be there. God, you know, and God, I trust you so much with my life and with his life. You know what we need, when to give it to us, if we need it, or if we don't need it. Because the purpose of being here is you're the purpose. And you're the purpose. You're the one to be glorified. And we have to do everything that, we have to do that all of us have to let everything go. And so fear is the fruit of an imperfect love because I'm really not trusting God with my life. I'm really saying, I know best, God. I know I need this thing over here. I remember praying a lady the other day that I was selling a puppy to. She was fretting over the airlines. And finally she kept emailing me. Finally I said, you need to quit worrying. Did you know that worry is a sin? And I said, why don't we just trust God, okay? So when the plane, I said, oh, God, you need to respect. I don't even know if this lady knows you, but, Lord, your reputation's at stake because I said, trust God. And she got okay. And I don't know why I said that. There was some reason. Lord, if it was important, bring it back. So to conquer fear, we have to let go. The minute you let go and really mean it, fear will leave because you gave up your idol when you really mean it. Now, there's been some other things that I had to take up more than one time. But when you really mean it and you're determined to give it to God, fear will leave in that particular area without fail because that's the perfect love that casts out fear. God, I trust you with this idol. Hey, don't let me have it. When I get a fear, that's what I say, Lord, I give it to you, and it leaves. Not saying I won't ever have another one. This recent one that cropped up. In fact, last week one cropped up. I had 7 mama puppies, mama dogs that didn't get pregnant, which meant about $25,000 I didn't get. And I was kind of worried about that. What if none of them get pregnant? And Kyle had a message last Sunday on Psalm 62. And he said, you know, that's just a simple message. You probably heard it before. I said, it was exactly what I needed to hear because it encouraged me. It encouraged me to take them up the mountain. Lord, if it glorify you the most for none of them to get pregnant and for me to go broke and not pay my bills and everything the devil wants to tell you, so be it. God, you have always taken care of me. Why am I worrying and fretting? God, you are faithful. And since loving God perfectly casts out fear, it's Satan, not God, that brings fear because fear is a demon. Fear is faith in what the devil's telling you instead of faith in God. And so whenever our trust is in something or someone else other than our Heavenly Father, Satan has the legal right to bring us into bondage in those areas that we're trusting in a false God. Deuteronomy 32:16, if you want to turn there, verse 25. There's so much in this passage. I read it so many times when I'm teaching because it gives you the progression of idolatry. I mean, it shows you that because of idolatry, the progression of the demons that are a fruit of idolatry. It says, they made him jealous with strange gods. So you see they're worshiping idols. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed. See, when we have idols, we're sacrificing to demons who were not God, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom your fathers did not dread. You neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. The Lord saw this and spurned them because of the provocation of his sons and daughters. Then he said, I'll hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a perverse generation, sons in whom is no faithfulness. They have made me jealous with what is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their idols. Now I want you to see what God does because of idolatry. So I'll make them jealous with those who are not a people. So you see, jealousy is the fruit of idolatry. I'll provoke them to anger. So you see that anger is the fruit of idolatry. In fact, 1 Samuel 15:23 says, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. It says, for a fire is kindled in my anger and burns to the lowest part of Sheol and consumes the earth with its yield and sets on fire the foundations of the mountains. I'll heap misfortunes on them. I'll use my arrows on them. Oh, I thought we're supposed to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. You see, we don't have a shield of faith. When we have idols, we don't have a shield of faith in that area. We have an idol. You may have it in other areas, but in the area that you have fear and idolatry, you're not protected in that area. And of course, there's always a measure of protection because there's so much, you can be repentant of your idols and there's so much you don't yet see. Thank God he don't show us everything at once. We couldn't take it. And so he looks at our heart and he's merciful to us. And he loves us and he cares about us. And he knows if we're going to repent down the road for that thing. But he doesn't show us everything at once. It's like layer by layer, precepts by precept. It's like peeling an onion. It says, and I'll use my arrows on them. They will be wasted by famine and consumed by plague and bitter destruction. You see, there's plagues coming on the earth upon the church. God tells us in Revelation 18, come out of the harlot church, my people, lest you receive of their plagues. What is a harlot church? It's a church that's teaching church members to be harlots because they don't deal with sin. It's so much out there that for the most part, people don't want to come. And here you have to crucify your flesh. They'd rather hear Dr. So-and-so say, well, you're saved by grace. You can live any old way you want to. That is a lie. Right? That is eating at the table of demons. Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You know, you can take a pitcher of water and just put one little drop of poison in it, and it's poison. And so there's teachers out there that it sounds so good. I mean, they're using scripture, but if they'll drop in a little leaven, and Jesus warned us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the religious folks. Destruction and the teeth of beasts, that's a type and shadow of the devil, demons. I'll send upon them with the venom of crawling things of the dust. Outside the sword shall bereave, and inside terror. And that word terror means the idol is the boogie bear. Well, what does that mean? If I have to get rid of that. Hope I don't have to get rid of that. Have y'all ever done that? Or is it just me? Back in the early years, I'd think, hope they don't tell me I have to get rid of that. And now after 50 years, I want to get rid of it. I've decided it doesn't work. Okay, David had a victory mindset in Psalms 27:1-2. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. You know, you could just put 1 Peter 5:8 there where it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. And my foes came upon me to eat up my flesh. They stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, in this I will be confident. We don't have to fear what's going on in this world. I cannot believe the insanity that goes on out there in this world and what they're trying to do to America and what they're trying to do to us. But God says, fear not. I am with you. You know, a few years ago, I had a mother hen sitting on an egg. And I'd go out there and I never heard anything. And then one day, after so many days, I went out and I heard a little, I couldn't see anything, but I heard a peep, peep, peep. But the baby was covered with the mother hen's wings. And that's the way God says, Psalms 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'll cover you with my pinions, my feathers. You'll not fear the arrow by day or the noisome pestilence or the terror that stalks by night. For 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. You'll only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Why? Because you've made the Lord your refuge, not some idol, not some demon, not some person, but that the Lord is your refuge. And we're not to fear people. Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel against the Lord and do not fear the people of the land, for they will be our prey. You know, there's enemies in our land right now. There's people that would love to kill the saints. But God says they're going to be our prey. I like that verse, don't you? I like the one, too, that says the wicked will bow down at the gates of the righteous. This is the gates. I love the other one, some more. This one says, foreigners, submit to me. The minute they hear my voice, they come trembling out of their fortresses. That's another good one. Amen? Not that you're wanting to hurt anybody, but if God is for you, nobody can be against you. If your ways please the Lord, it makes even your enemies to be at peace with you. Those scriptures give me hope in the days we're living in. Isaiah 35 says, if I walk the highway of holiness, there's no lion, no fool, or unclean can get on that highway. How do I get on that highway? By continuing to give up my life that I might find it. By continuing to deny myself and take up my cross and follow the Lord. Now, I'm not talking about legalism. The clay sits on the potter's wheel, and all the clay does is yield to the potter. It rests on the potter's wheel. Is that right? The potter does everything else. A legalistic person is out there trying to perform and turn that potter's wheel, and it can wear you out. And so God just wants us to get on the potter's wheel and come under the control of the potter, just like the clay. And so we have to die to produce fruit. John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So we produce fruit when we die to our life, because it's the life of the Lord Jesus that's coming through, and not our fruit, not our love, not our joy, not our peace, but it's the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus that comes through our life when we choose to die to our life. Fear gives off an odor. You know, if a vicious dog senses that you're afraid, he'll attack you. But if, because he can smell fear. I've experienced some discipline on my property a couple of times. I fail. And pride goes before a fall. Is that right? The other day I was taking a male dog from the front pen, and these chows are strong. They're big, strong dogs. And so I was taking this one, and he was running and pulling me. He was so strong, and I was mad at him because he was, I mean, he didn't get out of control, but I could barely control him. And I didn't realize I was angry at him, frustrated, was not even aware of it. And then I went and got another male that was bigger, and I put a leash on him. He had one too. And he was being real nice. And I just was, you know, feeling kind of relaxed. And when I got near a kennel with another male chow in there, he lunged forward and threw me head first into the kennel. And I was laying on the ground. I thought, can I get up? Anyway, the lesson in that was when you're walking in anger, and I wasn't even aware of it, you're walking in pride. And when you're walking in pride, you're not walking under the shadow of the Almighty. And the minute I fell, the dogs were barking, and you could just see where there's contention and strife, there's ever evil, ever demonic work. You see, when I fell, normally there's so much peace on my land, it's total peace. But when that happened, the dogs were fighting each other. I mean, they couldn't touch each other, but they were barking and carrying on. It was just a different presence on the land. And the lesson that I learned through that, God's discipline, I said, Lord, thank you for your discipline. I mean, I wasn't even aware, but He wanted to teach me a lesson. We're living in days where we want peace on our land. We better be walking with the Prince of Peace. We better not be walking in anger or bitterness or meanness or unforgiveness. Better not be walking in pride, because if we want God's angels on our property and we don't want demonic spirits on our property, we better maintain peace on our land through walking and dying to our flesh. And so I'm just thankful for that lesson, because there's enemies that would like to come on your land to hurt you. But when you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, you can't be, you know, God in His mercy, He didn't allow me to get hurt. I mean, my knee was bunged up, but I could have broke my leg or broke a bone, and my head hit the wire of the kennel and my glasses, and I didn't even have a bruise on my head. Now, my leg was kind of messed up for a few days, but nothing serious. But see, God was merciful to discipline me and not let me really be hurt seriously. And I thank the Lord for that. And so, but fear gives off an odor. Another time I fail, and the minute I fail, there's peace on the land, and I was walking in pride again and upset with somebody that I had just talked to on the telephone. I was trying to counsel them, and the guy would keep arguing with me. And without, I just said, well, if you know so much, why are you calling me? Blank. And I didn't, you know, I wasn't thinking. I walked out the door, and I was walking in pride and didn't even know it in the flesh. And I tell you, I fell flat. I tripped and fell flat. And the minute I fell, I had 6 chow dogs out, and they all started tearing at one another. You see, the minute I fell, because I was walking in pride, God's presence, God was merciful. I mean, He didn't totally leave me, but He allowed me to fall. And when that happened, the dogs started attacking one another because they were running loose. And so that's the other lesson in pride. And so now I try to talk real nice to people. And so I'm thankful. I say, you only have to whip me once, God. I understand. I get it. But I'm sure there are other lessons. And I'm not saying I'm humble, because I have so much to repent of. And I'm repenting as fast as I see it. But fear gives off an odor, and it gives the demons the ground to attack us through open doors of fear. And you know, God allows these attacks many times, even through other people, because He's trying to teach us to overcome fear and to train us to war and to teach us to war. Our war is not against people, but it's against principalities and powers. Now, there's a difference between a fiery dart and being overcome or being attacked. You know, the Bible says the fiery darts are flying. When I'm in the dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, I'm protected. But outside of God's refuge, the arrows are flying. He will deliver you from the snare of the trapper, the noisome pestilence, and the arrow that flies by day. But when you're overcome and you're attacked, there means there is a doorway there to be attacked. The scripture says in Psalms that the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. And so if it's resting, that means there's an area that I have to overcome, and there's a doorway. And when we cave into the enemy, we become corrupted. Proverbs 25:26 says, like a trampled spring and a polluted well is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. And to explain that would be if I caved in because somebody was making me afraid. I become like a trampled spring in a polluted well. David cried out for mercy in Psalms 56, 1 through 9. Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up, fighting daily, oppressing me. My enemies would daily swallow me up, for there are many that fight against me. O Thou, Most High, what time I'm afraid, I will put my trust in Thee. And so we're either an aroma of life or an aroma of death. 1 Corinthians 2, 16 through 17 says, to the one aroma from death to death, to the other aroma from life to life, and who is adequate for these things? So fear causes us to operate under a spirit of death. We either operate under a spirit of life or a spirit of death. And we're to fear God more than we fear man. Luke 12, 4 and 5 says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I'll forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which is after he hath killed, has power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And then we're either overcoming life, obstacles, or we're allowing life to overcome us. Heavens for the overcomer, Revelation 21, 6 through 8 says, he that overcomes, we all have things to overcome. And when you get those things overcome, God will show you something else to overcome. And then he'll show you something else to overcome. He that overcometh shall inherit all these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. For the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And God uses obstacles to teach us to war and to test us to see how we'll respond in fear, or faith, love, or hate. You know, in Judges 2 and 3, the children of Israel kept worshiping false gods. And when Joshua died, Moses died, they'd go back and then they would worship false gods. And then God raised up Joshua. And when Joshua died, they went back to worshiping their false gods. And they did good when God would have a judge there, but then they'd always go back to worship in their false gods. So God says in Judges 3 and 4, now these are the nations which the Lord left to test Israel by them. That is all who had experienced any of the wars of Canaan, only in order that the generations of the sons of Israel might be taught war, those who had not experienced it formerly. And then it mentions the nations that were left. And, you know, you can judge the children of Israel, but we're the same way. We go back to worshiping our false gods, and then when we have a problem, we start trying to get a hold of God. If we're wise, we start hanging on to the horns of the altar again. And then when we don't have a problem, we just kind of get back and rest on our laurels. And we're just like the children of Israel. And God leaves the enemy in our life. He leaves the turkeys in our lives. He leaves the difficult people in our lives to teach us to war. And our problem is our focus has been on warring against the people and not doing spiritual warfare over people. And God has really recently has given me victory in this area. If I have a negative thought towards somebody that's a difficult person in my life, it's my clue to pray for them. And I start doing deliverance at a distance. I come again, I say, in the name of Jesus, I tear down, I Satan, I command you to let go of this person. I tear down strongholds. I command spirits of bitterness, resentment, anger, meanness, hatred, strife, selfishness, viciousness, Jezebel, Ahab. I command unforgiveness, resentment, antichrist. You leave that person and leave me too, in Jesus' name. And you know what? When the devil sees that you're serious and you're going to be consistent, he'll back off because he don't want you praying for people. But if you don't do it, the enemy, you know, will torment your mind with negative thoughts toward people. But that's just my clue to use these negative thoughts for good. It's my clue to pray. and it should be yours. And it really works. You'll find people will start treating you different, and that's not why you're doing it, but you'll see a difference, a change in the atmosphere around you. And so God uses these obstacles to train us, to teach us, to train us to reign in eternity. And so we're to count it all joy. And the reason we're to count it all joy, because it's the testing of our faith that produces endurance. And God says those who endure to the end will be saved. He's training us to reign in eternity. Kings and priests will reign over the earth. Revelation. I'm not going to read that, but in Revelation 5, 9 through 10, as believers we'll overcome the world. Without trials in our life, we'd not have anything to overcome. We'd be just wimps, spiritual wimps. We probably already are, but God is trying to strengthen us. He's trying to take the people that are strong and make them trust Him for their strength, and He's trying to make the ones that are weak to trust God for their strength. And He's working on all of us. Every time we bow down to a demon of fear, maybe someone's making us afraid, or we're bowing down to a demon of fear, we deny Christ. 2 Timothy 2:12 through 13, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ. Then it goes on to say, if we suffer, we'll also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll also deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. And then God promises us a crown of life if we reign in life. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love Him. And then there's the fear of death that subjects us to slavery our whole life. Not only is Jesus the only genuine healer, but He also redeems us. He allows us to redeem lost opportunities. We've all had lost opportunities, but God uses all of those things. Moses was on the backside of a desert for 40 years and felt like a failure. He ran after he killed the Egyptian. He ran into the wilderness, and he was there. God taught him for 40 years in the wilderness. And you may think you're in a wilderness right now. I've been in a wilderness. We all have been in a wilderness because it's a time of training. But at God's appointed time, He moved Moses out to lead the children of Israel. And I'm seeing that when we've got pride in our life, God just backs off. He knows the hearty from afar. And if we want for God to promote us, we're going to have to humble ourselves. And we have to have the attitude that if He doesn't promote us at all, we're still going to humble ourselves because we love God. I tried to get a lady to come to Lake Hamilton, and she said she was just too busy, but she was calling for ministry. And I said, you need to come here because you need prayer. You need prayer every day. And we all need that. I tell people that call me, if they want deliverance, this is the place to come, because you can get prayer. You can get prayer every day. And there was something I was going to tell you about this lady, but I forgot. So, Lord, if it's important, bring it back to my mind. Oh, I know what it was. There was please know, I'm not trying to criticize her, because if you know anything, it's because God gave it to you, not because you're so smart. So, but bless her heart, she was wanting this specific thing healed. I said, you know what? You need to get your focus on getting your life healed, and then just die to the fact that if whether He heals you or not, would you love God if He never did anything for you? That's a good question we need to ask ourselves. We're here for Him, not for us. But the way we were trained up, it's been all for us. You know, one of the reasons people fear dying is because they know they've wasted their life. If somebody gets a death sentence and they think, well, I'm not ready to face eternity. I've wasted my life on foolish, useless, frivolous, selfish things, and I'm not ready to go into eternity. I don't have nothing of eternal value to take. Hey, today's the day we need to start. Today's the day you can start, just like Moses in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness. Didn't look like anything, herding sheep. And you know, we've all been in a wilderness. But today's the day. Don't think that you don't have anything to give God, because God had a plan for you before you were even born. And you know, an unloving spirit is a spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self. It's like an antichrist spirit. It's like this thing used to be in my life, and it's like a voice that nitpicks you 24/7. The one I had said fat, 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 fat. I don't know what the one you have or had says, but it's an antichrist spirit that wants to tear down in you everything that God wants to build up. And I tell you, to be tormented by that demon for most of my life, and probably about 10 or 15 years ago, to be tormented by that demon, it's like a spirit, it's like a, you let it stay in you because you think it's you talking to you. You think that voice is talking to you, and you think it's you, and you put up with it. It's a demon that wants to tear down in you. It's a nitpicking demon that critiques you 24/7, and you always come up short. Makes you feel worthless, makes you feel no good, makes you feel not valued, that God couldn't ever use you. And it's a demon, it's not you. So that voice that talks to you and tears you down, it's a demon. And you don't have to put up with it. That's good news. So if we get on the potter's wheel, we will live up to the measure of the stature that's ours in Christ. We will be what God put us here for. It's not too late. It wasn't too late for Moses. Moses was in the wilderness being trained by God for the ministry God had for him. And that's what you're being trained for what God has for you. So today's the day to start being God's servant. You say, well, I don't know how to be God's servant. Well, that's good, because he can show you how. But when you think you know everything, then you're not very teachable. I know a particular person that sits in church with his own agenda, and he's so full of pride, he knows everything, and you can't teach him nothing. And Lord, we ask you to humble him and humble me right along with him. But please be merciful. That's a dangerous prayer to pray. So it's never too late. The thief on the cross, it wasn't too late, said, Lord, remember me this day when you go into paradise. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have any good works, but he called on the Lord. Okay, some other things about fear. I've already said this. Fear is a demon. And what you fear reveals the name of the demon. Let's just talk about some things you fear, if you're humble enough. Anybody? And we'll name what the idol is. Okay? Nobody has any fear. Okay, fear of finances. The idol is, I've got to have finances. And we all need finances. There's nothing wrong with needing finances. But when we're driven toward, you know, our idols drive us. And there could be lots of roots why you fear finances. Like if you grew up with your mother and daddy really poor, then the lie is, you know, I'm never going to be like them. So that becomes an idol in my life. Okay, somebody else. Okay, the children are idols. You got to take them up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac. Okay, what else? Okay, did you understand about the potter's wheel? So all you have to do is yield to the potter, and you can't miss. You understand? You ever seen a potter and a clay, a potter work with clay? What does the clay do? Okay. The Bible says God is the potter and you are the clay, right? Okay. So you don't have to worry about missing him, right? If you're on there. So if you're not yielded, yield to God. Give up control of your life. And you cannot fail. Okay. Somebody else.
Fear of what?
Fear of somebody coming after you. The idol is you fear death. You fear being hurt. The idol is I can't be hurt. And a lot of times that comes in through watching scary movies, through occultic games, cartoons. I don't know if any of that applies. But you have to get to the spiritual root to something. And you know, if you get prayed for and you don't get the root of it, it will come back. But if you get the root of it, it will not come back, and you don't have to worry about it coming back if you find the spiritual root to it. I've had other things that I would find so many roots to something. If it comes back, it just means there's another layer that God wants you to see, another opportunity to find out why you're feeling this way. But a lot of times fear of something happening. I remember at one seminar, a girl said, "I fear going in dark alleys." I said, "You ever see a movie like that?" She said, "Oh, yeah." And so that's where it came in. The movies nowadays are so full of occultic things, they open you up to fear. Plus, little children are programmed with the TV watching demonic cartoons. You see how the devil has programmed society? Through goodness, it's horrible. Okay, somebody else. But renounce. Ask the Lord, brother. Ask the Lord to show you all the things that you have done that have opened you up to fear. Or if you've ever seen anybody be hurt, sometimes a fear will come on. But the idol is, I can't be hurt. I can't be killed. I can't be tortured. And so you have to just give up your life. Lord, if it glorify you the most for something bad to happen, so be it. But devil, you can't touch me because I'm in the hands of the potter. Okay, somebody else. You don't like heights? Did you ever fall? No. Did your mother and daddy? It could be the idol is I can't be in high places because I could be hurt or killed or fall. Okay, somebody else. Okay, that's fear of rejection. The idol is you've got to love me. You can't reject me. I've got to find somebody that cares about me and loves me. And so you spend your whole life looking for love, and you always get rejected. See, whenever you have an idol, your idols, if they're people, will always turn on you. Just ask me and I'll tell you. First hand. Okay, somebody else. Fear of being out of control. Or fear of being controlled? You said being controlled? Okay, were you controlled growing up? Huh? No? Were you, right, when you're growing up, did you grow up kind of in dysfunction and in chaos? And to keep your world of chaos in order, you had to be in control, so you fear giving up control. See, that's what it is. That's where it comes in when you're a controlling person. A lot of times children grow up and they don't trust nobody but themselves, and so they know if they can control things, they can keep their world of chaos in order. And so they have a fear of letting go. And that goes back through not being nurtured and taken care of as a little girl, and the lie God's the same way, but you have to give it up because God's not like your daddy or mother. Okay, somebody else. But anyway, whatever the fear is, it's linked to idolatry. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, "My beloved, flee from idolatry." Colossians 3:2-10 says, "Set your mind on things above and not things that are on this earth, for you've died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him." Fear is at the root of procrastination. I fear I'm going to make a mistake, so I'm not sure of myself. And so I fear I'm going to make a mistake. Maybe there's repercussions to make a mistake, or somebody's going to fuss at me. And that usually comes in through controlling parents that don't let you fail growing up. And they may say, "Well, why'd you do this? You should have done that. Well, why'd you do this? You should have done that. Why'd you do this? Well, you should have done that." And they get slam dunked every time they make a wrong choice. And so we procrastinate because we're unsure of ourselves, and we fear making a mistake and the repercussions of making a mistake. And fear is at the root of perfectionism. I have to be perfect so everybody will love me or like me. And that goes back to perfectionistic parents wanting you to be perfect. Fear comes in for the lack of nurturing, being abandoned, not being valued by your parents enough for them to
to keep you, take you, nurture you, train you up. Fear is the fruit of a defiled conscience. 1 John 3:21. If our conscience is clear, we have confidence toward God, which means faith and trust in God. It means freedom of speech. Faith is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. We give up our life, giving up our life by taking on the yoke of Jesus, which produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. So we wear the yoke of Leviathan, or we wear the yoke of iron, which produces flesh. But the yoke of Jesus produces faith. Not only does He grant us rest for our souls, but it produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And any other yoke other than the yoke of Jesus is a yoke of bondage, causing our lives to be dominated by fear. Romans 8 says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. These newer translations leave that part off. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's a mistranslation. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I told a young man once, he said, "You misquoted that verse." I said, "You must have a newer translation." Yeah. And I said, "If you don't believe you can be condemned," he loved God with his whole heart. This young man was sold out to the Lord. I said, "If you don't believe you can be condemned, step into sin and tell me you don't feel condemned." God allows that. When you walk after the flesh, we're to have no other gods before Him. Exodus 20:2, "I am the Lord God which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." If we're not living in freedom and liberty, we're in bondage to an idol. It can be a person, thing, or an image in our minds. An image is an idea or a picture in our minds. We can be imprisoned by that image or that idea or that picture we have in our minds. Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." And so what I want you to do now is I want you to stand up and ask the Lord, what are your fears? And I want you to take them up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac. And if you really mean it, give it to God and tell the Lord never to let you have it if you don't need it. And if you need it, to give it to you. And tell the devil he can't keep you from having it, because you're going to get on the potter's wheel and you're in the hands of the potter. Amen? And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. So examine your fears and ask God where they come in. If you have to also to deal with it. Like, if, for example, if you fear getting hurt, you've got to ask the Lord to show you where that fear came in, and close the door and forgive anyone that hurt you. And pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts, show me every fear in my life, because, Lord, you said perfect love casts out fear. I want to take everything up the mountain that I'm afraid of, and I want to give it to you. Give it up to you. I also want to say you can be swallowed up by a spirit of fear. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, drink down, gulp down, and swallow up." If a people make you fearful, for example, you grew up with parents that you were afraid of, you were swallowed up in fear. They swallowed you up. So, Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. And then when you're through repenting and taking your idols up the mountain, then sit back down and we'll do deliverance. So pray with me. Let's first break generational curses. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take accountability for whatever happened to me in the loins of my forefathers, all the way back to Adam and Eve. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants that my forefathers made, giving me and my descendants to Satan and his demons. I break in Jesus' name and renounce Freemasonry, lodges,
Eastern Star, all the cults, every religion that denies the blood atonement and deity of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I renounce secret lodges, fraternities, sororities, demonic initiations in the name of Jesus. Lord, I break the power of every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over me by my forefathers or spoken over them in the name of Jesus. And I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in the name of Jesus. I sever and cut in Jesus' name with the sword of the Spirit every soul tie, everything linking me back into my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. And when I pray that, what I'm saying is everything of theirs that got on me, I'm sending back. And everything of mine that got on them, I'm calling back. In the name of Jesus, I exchange their image for the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. And Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for idolatry. I ask you to forgive me for fear. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for being afraid of letting go of my life. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for not being faithful, for not loving me, for not valuing me enough, for treating me as worthless, like a piece of trash, throwing me away, not valuing me. And God, forgive me. I thought you were just like them. I forgive them for not guiding me, directing me, training me up, loving me, putting me on their hip, nurturing me, hugging me, kissing me. I forgive them for hating me, being bitter toward me, abandoning me. I forgive them for divorce. I forgive them for giving me up for adoption, throwing me away like trash in the name of Jesus. Thank you that I am not trash. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. Thank you that you're my glory. I forgive my daddy and for not being my glory. Lord, Father God, lift your hands to heaven. Would you come and be my glory, God? You're the greatest glory anybody can have. Would you come? I receive you, Lord. I receive your glory. I receive your yoke. I take your yoke upon my neck that's light and easy, that produces faith, and I throw off every demonic yoke, every yoke of slavery. I break the power of it. Lord, forgive me for walking in the flesh and not being led by your spirit, receiving a spirit of fear that has subjected my life to slavery my whole life. Lord, forgive me for fear of death that's caused me to be fearful of giving up my life. Lord, like Abraham did Isaac, I take every fear up the mountain. And Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? God, if it'll bring you greater glory for that thing to happen, so be it. But devil, you're bound. You cannot touch me. In the name of Jesus, I put my life in the hands of the potter. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for listening to a demon. Forgive me for putting up with this voice that talks to me, this unloving spirit, this antichrist spirit, this nitpicking demon I thought was me. Lord, it's not me, and I thank you that it's not me, and I tell this demon, take a hike, get out of me, you nitpicking antichrist spirit, you spirit of self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, get out of me now, in Jesus' name. I break your power. I break the power of bitterness, terror, fear, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Go in the name of Jesus. I break the power of being terrorized, paralyzed by fear. I break the power of procrastination, fear of making a mistake, fear I'll do it wrong, fear of failure. Get out in Jesus' name. Lord, if it'll grant you greater glory and honor for me to fail in this life, as long as I don't fail with you, so be it in Jesus' name. I break the power of fear of man. I break the power of rejection, antichrist. I break the power of bitterness, unbelief. doubt, lies, lying. Every lie that God's like my mother and daddy. I break the power of that lie in Jesus' name. I break the power of idolatry in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the smell of death, the odor of death, the aroma of death. I command spirit of death out in Jesus' name. I break your power in the name of Jesus. Bitterness, resentment. Lord, I've been like a trampled spring in a polluted well. I've given way before the wicked, and I break the power of the spirit that would cause me to cave in before the wicked. In the name of Jesus, trampled spring, polluted well, out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Lord, I ask you to loose on them the fragrance of your Holy Spirit, an aroma of life in Jesus' name. All spirits of being overcome instead of being an overcomer. All demons that have caused them to be overcome by life, I say get out. Defeat, failure, fear of defeat, fear of failure, fear of being killed, fear of being murdered. Go. Lord, forgive me for looking at evil movies. Forgive me for subjecting myself to demons of fear through what I've looked at, listened to. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. Every spirit that would cause them to not endure to the end, go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, forgive me for fearing death, being subjected to slavery my whole life in the name of Jesus. Go. Spirits of perfectionism. Lord, I forgive my mother and father for expecting me to be perfect. I forgive them for not letting me fail. I forgive them for not letting me make a mistake. I forgive them for lambasting me every time I'd make a mistake. I'd get lambasted. It'd be wrong. Fear of repercussions of failure. Fear of failure. Go in Jesus' name. Procrastination. Perfectionism, go. Pride has to go. All spirits of haughtiness and arrogance and pride has to leave all of us in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Lord, I want no other gods but you. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the only God. In the name of Jesus, I break the power of every demonic spirit in the name of Jesus. Fear of death, go in Jesus' name. Fear of demons, go. Fear of the one world order, go. Fear of Obamacare, go. Fear of our government, go. Fear of terrorism, go. All spirits of fear that's come upon us through listening to the news media, get out in Jesus' name. We command Goliath, shut your mouth in Jesus' name. For we come in the name of the Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven. Get out in the name of Jesus. We break your power. All rebellion has to go. All witchcraft has to go. In the name of Jesus, I break your power. All spirits of unrest, you have to go. In Jesus' name. In all spirits of slavery, Lord, I take off my mother's yoke, my daddy's yoke, my wife's yoke, my husband's yoke, my children's yoke, the yoke of iron. I take the sword of the Spirit and I cut the control. I forgive my parents for controlling me. I cut that spirit of witchcraft control. I cut those yokes of slavery off our neck. In the name of Jesus, we break your power. All fainting, giving up, wanting to quit, all discouragement, despair, hopelessness. Lord, I ask you to infuse them with the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing. All fear, Lord, I take them out of the mouth of fear in Jesus' name. I command familiar spirits of their forefathers, leave. All demons that have swallowed them up, I say, spit them out. Let them go in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up your banners, let the anthems ring. Praises to the King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lord, we love you. Well, Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace. Pray with me. Fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control, everywhere a demon power left. Fill me up, Lord, to overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you. Have a good night. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.